glory. And because His love, because His power, because His presence is going to do just that in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our relationships, in our homes. Let's just allow the Lord to be enthroned on our praises as we lift our voices to Him. We lift our hearts to Him in thanksgiving and praise. We worship You, Lord. We glorify You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank You,
my brothers and sisters, I invite you to open up your hearts to Him. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship You, Jesus. We glorify You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Through the trial and the change, this one.
promise was again, your love never fails.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Of coming back during this season of making room in our lives, we remember the words in scripture, God's kindness leads to repentance. It's his kindness, it's his love, it's his unconditional, unmerited, unlimited love that pulls our hearts close to him. It is his love, his limitless love, that gives us the confidence that we are accepted in his arms no matter what. His love is not because of something. It is in spite of who we are. During this season, my brothers and sisters, let's remember that his love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you and me. It runs, it chases after you. It recklessly chases after you. And it is in the face of this love that we return. It is in the face of this love that we make room. It is in the face of this love that we repent. So during this moment, my brothers and sisters, let's open our hearts to the love of the Lord and let's tell him, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my anxious heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and lead me in your everlasting way. Let's make this our prayer at the beginning of this season of returning.
God, and know my heart.
make this our prayer. Search me, O God.
Search me, O God. Is a moment of surrender as we sing these words again. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. I've been a part-time Christian. I've had a section in my life that I've kept away for you. But now I give my life wholly. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. My poor heart that is incapable of loving you. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord. In me abide. Come and make your home in me. Let me host your presence, Lord. Let's lift these words up to the Lord as our sacrifice of praise. Let's surrender ourselves in this moment with these words.
Holy Spirit is moving amongst us right now. And He's going to make this experience real in our lives. He covers the time and space between us. And He's touching every heart. He's filling every home. And He's making the love of God real in our hearts this evening. Let's just thirst for Him. Let's just long for Him. And as we thirst, as we long, my brothers and sisters, He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. He will fill us with the living water. Right now, let's invite the Holy Spirit to take over.
Living God. changing everything. You're changing everything. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes. It changes what we see and what we see. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what we see. You're changing everything in our homes. You're changing everything in our families, Lord. You're changing everything, every impossible situation. You're changing everything.
Lift our hands to the Lord, my brothers and sisters, at this moment, in the presence of the Lord. Come and have your way. Holy Spirit.
Come and have your way.
Come and have your way. Here we are, here we are, here we are, here we are. Take us, Lord. Take all.
Mother Mary, to be with us this entire season of Lent, to carry us on her intercession, to lead us and guide us to the heart of the Father. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death.
Praise the Lord.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We warmly welcome those of you joining us live here from St. Anthony's, as well as those of you joining us on Zoom and on YouTube. We have a few announcements. The intercessory prayer will take place this Friday as usual from 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Zoom. The details will be on your screen. You can take a screenshot of the Zoom ID and the passcode if you need it to remember later. We have the youth meeting taking place this Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. This, since we're in the season of Lent, during the youth meetings as well, we'll be really talking about Lent and preparing the youth for this season. So we welcome all the youth between the ages of 14 to 23 to join us. And then on, so we have something special taking place from tomorrow onwards. It's the 40 days of Lenten prayer and reflection. So as many of you have been part of this in the past few years, it's definitely something to look forward to. I personally consider this as my personal time of retreat, 40 days of retreat. And I believe each and every one of you will be truly blessed if you are able to make that sacrifice every day in the morning at 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. I'm sure by Easter, you will definitely experience a resurrection in your own life. Then this Saturday morning, once again, very early in the morning for us, we have Dr. Ralph Martin, who will be sharing a special message with the CRL. So we have a small video clip of... Okay, so moving on. We also have today, at the end of the prayer meeting, for those of you joining us online, we have something special taking place, which is the CRL prayer room. My brothers and sisters, this is the very equivalent to being prayed over when we met in person. So there will be separate prayer rooms here where there will be a team praying for you, for your needs, whatever problems you're facing currently. Please be assured that whatever you share in these rooms will not be shared outside. We respect your confidentiality. And we value who you are. So we have a small testimony now from a person who was part of the prayer room. He's one of our servers. It's Mihiran Fonseca, so he's also a server in the CRL. He'll share with us about his own experience of the prayer room. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. My name is Mihiran Fonseca. Recently, I was being exposed as a first level exposure to a COVID positive person, and as a result, I was supposed to be house quarantined. So I was house quarantined for a week, and then there came the time that there were a few selected people who were supposed to go through the PCR test, and I had a huge internal struggle because actually my daughter was doing her exams in university. And I knew the situation if I became positive, how tough it would be and what the repercussions would be based on the outcome. So there was an internal struggle in me saying that, okay, may I not go in for the PCR test? May I stay on house quarantine for 14 days so that I don't cause any problems to the society and avoid the PCR? Actually, I got this email that I have been selected for PCR test just about 5 minutes before, 2 weeks, 5 minutes before. That is two Wednesdays before. And when I went into the prayer meeting, I was in a huge internal struggle. And then after that, after the prayer meeting, went into the prayer rooms. And I got prayed over on the prayer rooms. And After being prayed over in the prayer rooms, I had a huge internal enlightenment, which I can't actually explain. It was all of a sudden a flash in me, and the question that was asked: why are you so anxious? Why are you trying to take control of things of your own? Why don't you leave things in the hands of God? And that was a huge enlightenment to me internally. And I immediately surrendered myself to God. And just after finishing the prayer rooms, I went online, I logged in, and I said, I booked myself in for the PCR test as the first person on that respective day. And I was so comfortable, and I was feeling so light and so happy. And concerns that I had, the anxiety that I had just disappeared. And came the morning on Saturday. I normally go, whenever I go to office, I go to a particular place to be at the foot of the Lord. But that day I got a bit late, so I was about 5 minutes before the time of the PCR test, so I had to just drive in to the place. When I went in there, the people were not ready. They said, okay, come back in half an hour. And I immediately drove into that into the church to see there was a mass just started for an organization where there were COVID positive people, and on behalf of the organization, the mass was going on. So I sat for the mass, received, got the touch of the Holy Spirit, went in for the test.
As we open our hearts in prayer, and as we come together, you know that these are testimonies of people who were saved from COVID, but we also have people even in our community who have gone through COVID, and going through that COVID, God's presence with them, the strength that the Lord brought to them, that they were able to really deal with it with such freedom. And really be victorious over their fears, over the situations, and really experience the power of God in their lives. I think we need to thank God for that as well, you know, so that people who are saved from COVID, and even those of us, sometimes we have to go through something, but through it all, the strength of God to really make it strong and powerful. Shall we praise and thank the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, and as we begin the season of Lent, we are praying for a breakthrough in our frame, that we are trapped inside a worldview of our own making. And we are so caught up in it, we see nothing else. But Lord, we pray, as we begin Lent, that our frame will be shaken and broken, as we remember, as we were told, with the ash put on our forehead, remember, man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. That everything is impermanent. What we have, what we possess, what we go through is all impermanent. But ultimately, the permanency lies in our eternal life with God. That frame that holds us down to impermanent things and makes us worry and fight over nothing, that it will be broken in this time of Lent by supernatural power. And what really matters will come into our lives. And we'll experience a freedom deep in our hearts as we walk with the Spirit in these 40 days. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated, my brothers and sisters. So, like you were reminded, tomorrow we start the Lenten reflections. And we'll be having it at 6:30 in the morning. So we have it on YouTube, but we also have it on Zoom. And if you can project the slide again, that would be valuable so that you can see. So the smart thing to do is take a photograph. So you can just take from your phone, take a photograph, and you have all the details. Okay, if you already have it, that's fine. So like you were reminded, Saturday we have at the beautiful time of 5:30 in the morning, we have Ralph Martin speaking to us, and it'll be really valuable to hear him speak of the crisis in our world and in our church all over. And he's speaking to us from 5:30, and I'd encourage many people to join in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, as we move on, let me tell you the topic of today, in case I forget to tell you that. And the topic is living as a new creation. Living as a new creation via surrender. My brother, my sister, I've been talking for the last so many weeks about breaking the boundaries of our own world or our worldview. We are trapped inside our worldview. Actually, you have to only think about mad people, you know. Now, powerful signs of being mad is that this person thinks that everybody else is mad and only that person sees properly. Now, in our life also, that's the same thing. We are prisoners of a mindset, a worldview, and that's what keeps us troubled, sad, unhappy, broken, addicted, lost. We don't realize it. We think the problem is with other people. That if they stop being what they are and who they are, and if they change, and if situations have become better, then I'll have a happier life. But we have been learning over the past few weeks, the real problem is in our minds. And some of us, the real problem is we can't get away from the way we think. That's the problem. So I gave you a beautiful example a few weeks ago about the king who threw his minister to the dogs, literally to the dogs, you know. How is that? He got angry with the minister and said, I'm going to throw you to the dogs. And the minister pleaded with him and said, give me 10 days. And what did he do in the 10 days? Reprieve. What did he do? He went and took over the dogs. He fed them, he petted them, and he got friendly with the dogs. So the day came to be thrown to the dogs. And when he was thrown to the dogs all welcomed him. Wagged their tails, licked his face. Everyone got a shock. And they asked, how did that happen? Then he said, I served the king 10 years, but I served the dog 10 days. And the dog showed gratitude. Now the story goes that the king was deeply touched. He said, I learned a lesson today. So everyone thought at least today the king has really learned it. So they asked him, what's the lesson you learned? He said, I learned, replace the dogs with crocodiles. So you can see, there are people, whatever happens, they won't change their mindset. They will take all that information and feed it into the frame they are living in. And when you get older, it becomes worse. That's why difficult to deal with older people. Why is that? Everything they get, they put into their mindset frame. And that's why he says, Kata karala vedak ne. Kiala vedak ne. Why is that? Won't change, won't shift. The frame has become set. But if you want to be liberated, the first thing is this frame has to be broken. And for that to happen, we need a divine encounter. God has to break in. We have to break out, and God has to break in. And ultimately prayer, that's what prayer should be doing. He should be making us break out of our frame and allowing God to break in. So that what happens is, there is a momentum and a shift in what's happening in our lives. That's so exciting if you think about it that way. Prayer, creating a momentum of transformation and change, not only for us, but for the world around us. I found it in the year 2000. I thought I knew all about renewal. Because I had been in the renewal for, in 2000, it was 24 years. So 24 years is a long time, isn't it? And I had been trained in theology, in leadership. I had been holding positions. I had been in many countries. I had been to many seminars, much programs. And I was fully convinced that there was nothing much more that anyone could tell me. You know, and knowledge base, it was true. But I was failing. I was falling. I was going through struggles. And I was blaming everybody else. But myself. Because I thought in my frame, I was okay. Everybody else was having a problem. But it is when God broke in. When I was in this retreat, in the Divine Retreat Center in Chalakkode. And I was broken out of it. And for God to break me out, he couldn't tell me gently, because I would have analyzed and told God also what to do. So he had to dash me on the floor, make me helpless, shamed, vulnerable, broken, and there my frame broke. And when we look back for the last 21 years now, what the CRL has become over the years, it has become like this because of what happened in 2000. But that doesn't mean that's the only time. I'm thinking it must happen on a daily basis. My frame is broken, God breaks in, and I break out on a daily basis. Then there is living momentum in our life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's exciting because nothing can stop it. Because God is creative. He's able to find ways that you can't even imagine. Nothing will be able to stop it. And it will be an exciting momentum to the end of your life. And for that I've been teaching. One of the ways of breaking the frame and allowing God to break in is praying with the four steps. Otherwise we'd just be saying prayers and nothing much happens. Because we pray within our frames. We can easily do that. And we learned it last 2 weeks. I told you about come as you are, I love you with the first step. We do it with the Father. With God the Father. And we come to God the Father. Come as you are. I love you. I'm coming to God the Father to exchange frames. How do you do that? I ask Him, how do you see me? Who am I? And every morning I'll have to ask that, because every by evening I've forgotten and I've got caught in the worldly frame. So in the morning, when I sit before the Father at His feet, I say, Father, tell me again, who am I? Like in the fairy tale, mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me again, you know, who is the most beautiful of them all, you know. So here we are, you know. Look at the Father and ask Him to tell me who I am. By that we are breaking the frame. We are breaking our frame that has been formed from our childhood into our lives. And the Father tells us, son, daughter, you have come from my heart. Your parents are really not your parents. They are the ones I used to bring you to the earth, but you have come from my heart. It is I who formed you. I who sent you. So I play a game of imagination. God has given us the gift of imagination, isn't it? We imagine all the terrible things, or we imagine all the sinful things, isn't it? Why can't we imagine holy things and divine things, you know, and allow it to become real in our hearts? I imagine, you know, God the Father, God Jesus, and the Holy Spirit having a conference, you know, and three of them saying, you know, we need a job done, you know. And we need to send someone, you know. And okay, we'll send this guy. Who is that? Me. Lalit. I'll send him to, where will we place him in Sri Lanka? Place him. But here is the year. I can't tell you the year, you'll know my age then. So, then. Nobody wants to tell their age now. So, place him. And when the job is over, we'll bring him back. And that's who I am. I'm come from the Father. I'm on his mission. And I'm returning to his heart to live forever in his heart. Every morning I enter that frame. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't enter that frame, you are caught here. You are trapped in this world. And we become victims of little things because you have lost the frame. And then everything falls into place. Even misunderstanding, pain, rejection has a role. Because it's a part of this process of going back to the Father. Everything need not be finished and completed here. You know, because we are expecting, if God is at work, he must give us a good ending. You know, otherwise the movie can't finish. No, yeah, we have movie stars. So the movie can't end without a good finish. You know, if you have a movie with a bad finish, no one wants to see it. You know, why is that? Because it's a, you know, we don't want to be sad. No one wants a life with a bad finish. Everyone wants a good one. And we want it to be completed here. But when you see that our life is beyond this frame, everything falls into place. I told you the story of the Red Indian, which is really the true story. The Red Indian chief, who was a violent man, who had killed hundreds. People are terrified of him. But then somebody preached the gospel to him, spoke about the cross and forgiveness. It pierced his heart. He was so challenged. What did he do? He surrendered his life to Jesus. And he said, God, Jesus has forgiven me. And then he had this bad news that his son had been killed by somebody else. And what did he do? He walked up to this man. Or they say he rode up to this man. He had the tomahawk in his hand. And he said, if it was several months ago, I would have smashed your head with this in revenge. But because Jesus has forgiven me by dying on the cross, I forgive you. Now for him, that was a noble act. But not for the Red Indians. The Red Indians thought this guy had gone crazy and weak. Because he had controlled everything with violence, with brute force, with fear. And then they saw him like this. It only took a week for another person to come from behind, hit him on the head and kill him and take his place. So becoming a Christian was not helpful for him. If his story ended here. Now my brothers and sisters, but his story extends beyond this. He shared in the death of his master. Isn't it beautiful? Within a few months, he became equal to Saint Stephen. Within a few months, he shared in the death of his master with a heart of forgiveness. He had been raised to the highest levels of the saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Only understood if you think of eternity. And unfortunately, we are trying to cram everything into this frame. You know, why is God doing this? Why is God not doing that? Why is not doing that? You know. And I was reading, you know, the famous saint of the church, Maximilian Kolbe, who was put to death in 1944 in a concentration camp, Auschwitz in Poland. You know, there was this man who. I have his name, but I can't read it because it's Polish, you know, and very difficult to read Polish names, you know, unless we polish the so you would see this man who was chosen to be killed because 10 people escaped. They said 50 people must die. And here was one man selected randomly. He shivered and he said, my family, I have a family, I have children, I have a wife, everyone, who is going to look after them? And Maximilian Kolbe steps up and says, I'll take his place. I'll take his place. Those days I thought he was shot. You know, he was not shot. He was put in a room with the others and they locked it up. And without food, without water, they were allowed to die. Can you imagine that kind of death? You know, can you imagine? He prayed with them. He had the mass for them. He was the last to die. He led them into the kingdom. In 1972, when they had the celebration of his sainthood, where did they have it? In that concentration camp in Auschwitz, in Poland. The man who was saved was the one who came up and spoke. He said, I can't understand why he did this for me. I didn't even know who he was. Because the frame of Father Maximilian Kolbe, this Franciscan, was bigger than this lifetime. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If your frame is of this life, you're going to have a lot of trouble. And you can't explain a lot of things that happen in our life, you know. That's why every morning we have to change the frame. I come as I am, Father. I sit at your feet. I take from you. I've come from your heart. I am living here on mission. And I'm returning to you. Eternity is there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we do the second step. Last week I spoke about the second step. And in the second step, we allow Jesus to free us from the power of that frame. So we say, Jesus becomes Savior in the second frame. Every time I say Savior, I remember Herman. I saw Herman here, right now. Here he is. Okay. So you can see, in the second step, you give Jesus the truth of your heart. What's the truth of our heart? As far as I know, it give him your frame, you know, give him your mind concept, give him your paradigm, give him your perception of life, how you see it, lay it at his feet that he may transform it. And we come to Jesus the Savior. Jesus saves us in two ways. I said it last time, but I'm briefly telling it to you now. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And the first part of Galatians 2:20. You can repeat after me. I have been crucified with Christ. Shall we say it again? I have been crucified with Christ. My brother, my sister, briefly, if I explain it, what does this mean? Now, a lot of us don't have much of a meaning for this. To understand this, we need to understand Hebrew thinking, otherwise we'll never catch it. And for that, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I always have more time in the single meeting than the English meeting. I can't understand why it is. I mean, I look at the time, it's already 7 o'clock. You know. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can repeat what I'm saying. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have heard these things, but it just passes us by. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. My brothers and sisters, we have a faith base. It's like this. We know that Jesus was born without sin. Isn't it? Not only Jesus, we Catholics believe his mother was conceived without sin, because Jesus had to be without any sin. He lived without sin. And he died without sin. So sometimes I fight, you know, Lord is very unfair, you know. You know, you don't have the ancestry that we have. You know, great grandparents who did things, genetic problems, you know, characteristics of ancestors, you know, natures that come with the sinfulness. No wonder we are like that. You are without sin, and that is why you are pure. It's only later I really understood why Jesus was without sin. The reason is, if you are writing it down, he had to carry your sin and my sin to the cross. That's why he was without sin. Actually, the Hebrews understood this at once, but not us, because we don't have their background. Till 80 AD, that is, till 40 years after Jesus' resurrection, till 80 AD, there was temple sacrifice in the Jerusalem temple. And in this temple sacrifice, people who had committed sin, and he wanted to be reconnected with God, offered sacrifice. What was the sacrifice they offered? They offered a lamb. Now this lamb they offered was not a potte lamb. Or a kusta lamb. Buy the cheapest lamb. This lamb is lame, you know. Catch the lame lamb and give it, because it's cheaper to give the lame lamb, you know. Or the lamb that his skin has a blemish. No, you can't offer those. Why? Because the lamb had to be pure and innocent. It had to. Why was the lamb pure and innocent? It is only then that this lamb could take the place of that sinner. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the understanding of the Old Testament. So the lamb who was slain, who was pure, innocent, paid the price of the sin of the person who sacrificed the lamb. With this Jewish understanding, they're explaining Jesus. Jesus, who was born without sin, lived without sin, and died without sin, did for us what we could never do for ourselves. What is that? Paid the price for our sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, sin is forgiven. The doors to heaven are open. Last week I said, told you, rooms are reserved. Everything is in place. Why is that? Because Jesus paid the price. This is the gift of salvation. 150% of the gift of salvation. He has taken our place. He has paid the price. He has gone across. He has prepared the place. John 14:2 says, there are many rooms in my Father's house. If it was not there, I would not have told you. I have gone to prepare a place for you. Can you see that? That's the 50% of salvation. But that's the second 50%. The second 50% is, He returns. The risen Lord returns. Why does He return? He returns to accompany us into heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the beautiful thing. And how does He do that? This is the second part of Galatians 2:20. If you looked at the first part of it, this is the second part of Galatians 2:20. If you look at it. If you go back, Galatians 2:20. If you see that, you look at the first part, it says here, I have been crucified with Christ. You saw that, no? And I no longer live. You can repeat that. But Christ lives in me. Now, here's the second part of salvation. The risen Christ returns to do what? To come and live inside of us. To do what? To accompany us. Give us the strength, give us His presence, give us His nature, and accompany us to the house of the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the Eucharist. That's Jesus coming into our life. And on that way, a miracle happens. The miracle is shown in John 20:20. Beautifully given to us. John 20:20. After He said this, you can repeat that. Again we say it. After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. I want to ask you, what was on His hands? What was on His hands? Wounds. What was on His side? The wounds. But who was He? He's the risen Christ. Now the risen Christ, on the one hand, carries the human nature. But the risen Christ, on the other hand, carries the divine nature of the resurrected Lord. So when He comes to live inside us, the divine nature of Christ is now fusing with the broken, wounded nature of myself. This is the mystery of the Lord returning to live with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This mystery, the divine and the human together, Jesus is Savior. Isn't that amazing? Savior has two parts. Again, I'm telling you. What's the first part? He has paid the price. He has opened the doorway. He has made us right with God. And everything is ready in heaven. That's part number one. What's part number two? He returns. He's not returning to make me the chairman of the club. He's not returning to make me the champion of the team. He's not returning to make me the most famous guy on the planet. No. He's returning that He may accompany me back into the heart of the Father. And on the way, I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. His divine nature fusing with my wounded nature quietly reflecting the risen Christ in my life. The divine manifested in my natural self. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My brother, my sister, breaking out of this natural frame is so important to find this. Why is that? Otherwise, we are limiting Jesus Christ to little things on earth. I'm the champion. I'm number one. I've been given this. You know, I have got the most. I'm equating Jesus to a human thing. And we are, why is not God giving me my promotion? Why is not God doing this? Why did God allow the other one to have that? And the Lord says, I didn't come to give you any of that. I came so that I can take you to the place of the Father. On the way, He has a mission for us together with Jesus. And if the mission needs money, He'll provide it. If it needs power, He'll provide that also. If it needs riches, He'll provide that also. He will provide. But He's not providing so that I will be the glorious champion of the world. He's providing that the kingdom will be built. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We change the frame, but you have to break it every day. Otherwise, you get caught back again. That's why in the second step, Jesus saves me in two ways. Saves me from the price I would have had to pay for my sinfulness and gives me a place in heaven. Jesus saves me in the second way by accompanying me from within and transforming me into His nature on the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? This, but how does this become real? This theology, this excellent. How does this become real? The key is the third step. Surrender. It is surrender that opens us to this reality. So when you say surrender, people all agree, we must surrender. But if you ask, you separate all of you and ask, what's the meaning of surrender? I doubt, somebody said, I came to surrender my husband to the Lord. Why is that? No, it's such a mess. If nobody wants him, surrender him to the Lord. So for many people, they think, whatever I can't handle, I'll surrender to the Lord. So surrender has a very different meaning. And to understand this meaning of surrender, we are going to the third part of Galatians 2:20. I'm preaching this whole thing from one text, Galatians 2:20. If you go back to Galatians 2:20, the third part, the first part says, I have been crucified with Christ. And then the second part says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now I'm being saved. Now the third part is about surrender, lordship. Look at this text. The life I live in the body, you can repeat that. What do you mean by the life I live in the body? That's the life I'm having today. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to ask you a question. Who loves you the most? Who? Yeah, exactly. I love myself. I can't trust anybody else, isn't it? Ask any husband, ask any wife, ask any parents who are getting older, ask any children. Why is that? Because I'm convinced that nobody loves me more than I love myself. That's why I try to keep the final decision-making power in my hands. Isn't it? I want to keep it till the end. So there was this man who had three loving children, and he felt so, you know, they came to see him, the grandchildren came to see him, and he was so loved. He thought, you know, he was wealthy. He thought, you know, what's the use of giving my wealth, you know, when these church can, they can use it. And he wrote it all and gave it. You know. So they came 3-4 times after that. But little by little, the visiting got less. The phone calls got less. And they soon forgot about him. And then he called them all and said, look, I didn't tell you under a tree in the garden, I have hidden the greatest treasure. And I'll only tell it to you on the day I die, I'll write it then. And they visited him again. They came to see him again. They spoke to him again. Why is that? Because self-interest. My brother, my sister, that's why we keep the last word to ourselves. I will make the decision. But look at this text carefully. That says, the life I live in the body, that's the life I'm having now, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God. I believe in the Son of God. What did he do? Who loved me? And what did he do? Gave himself for me. He died for me. Can you kill yourself for yourself? Have you tried to take your hands and squeeze your neck and say? You can't. You can't kill yourself. You don't love yourself enough. You can't kill yourself. But Jesus died for me. Let me spell that out. What does that mean? That means that there is a person who loves me more than I love myself. Having faith in him, he loves me more than I love myself. How is that? He laid down his life for me. Romans 5:6 says, love is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Now listen carefully. Now you can appreciate that, you can value that. That's all. Nothing much will happen after that. Oh, Jesus died for me. Surrender is, as I understand it now, surrender is that decision-making power in my heart to have the last word, to decide at the end what I'm going to do, instead of keeping it for myself. What do? I give it to Jesus. Surrender. I have now analyzed and brought surrender down to a small act. You don't need big things. I'll give you my life. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You know, oh yes, Lord, I'll roll on the floor for you. What about that? No. No. Surrender. Very simple. What's the simple thing? Ultimately, when I decide, it's not me. Whatever Jesus wants. Surrender. Are you following what I'm saying? Learning to be in that position is a life of surrender. As far as I know. And I can tell you it's one tough struggle. Why is that? Because your whole nature rebels against it. Your nature rebels against it. That's why you need Jesus living inside you. Otherwise you'll never surrender. Because you have this whole struggle of your whole being fighting that. So, how does one surrender? As far as I know, we can do it in our prayer time. We start from there. First of all, we surrender the mind. How do you do that? Jesus, your thoughts for my thoughts. Now, what are the thoughts of Jesus? You know, you don't have to complicate this, you know. What are the thoughts of Jesus? The Word of God. So what is God thinking? Look at the Ten Commandments. You don't have to discern what God is saying. The Ten Commandments is the mind of God. So one day long ago, a person came to me and described how this person was married, had two children, but has now fallen in love with a girl in the office. So he was describing this to me. So I asked him, why did you come to me? He said, no, I came that you pray to God and tell him to take away my wife and give me this girl whom I love. You know, I'm married too young and I now only have found the girl of my life. I said, very sorry. I said, I can't do that because you're breaking the commandments. The commandments of God is His will. So you can't discern whether to break a commandment. You can't. Cecil B. DeMille's. Cecil B. DeMille is the one who was the director and the producer of the Ten Commandments. He said it beautifully. He said, you don't break commandments actually. Then commandments break you. Because if you break the commandment, it's like, you know, there's a beautiful saying, you know. There was this battleship, you know. And in this battleship was the admiral of the fleet. He had these 100 other boats with him. And they saw a light in front. And the admiral said, arrogantly said, you know, tell that guy to move off. And that guy signaled back, you know, they signaled with Morse code, no? You move off. The admiral got really upset, you know, the ego was really. Me move off? Tell him, and the admiral on board, you better move off. He signaled, admiral on board, move off. That guy said, I'm only sergeant, you better move off. He said, what? He said, do you know that if you don't move off, you will be destroyed? And the other guy, do you know that if you don't? Yeah. Siri was answering me. Sorry.
I'm listening.
Okay. So, so that guy signaled, if you don't move off, you will be destroyed. He said, what? Who are you? He said, I'm Sergeant so and so, but I'm actually on a lighthouse. I'm not on a ship, I'm on a lighthouse. And the admiral, however powerful they are, this has to move away from the lighthouse. And my sister, the commandments of God are unshakable. So we transform to the mind of Christ by accepting His way of explaining life through the Word of God. That's to shift your mind. But that, not only that, then you also have insights. Insights from God. He will show you how to see things differently. You know, sometimes when I'm afraid or I don't have an answer, I say, Lord, all you have to do is to shift the way I'm seeing it. Everything will fall into place. Those days I used to ask, Lord, why don't you change this one and change that one and change the other and change the other? And you spend hours explaining it to God, and God plays dumb, you know. Okay. Till I get tired and I surrender. Now I've learned. Maybe what I'm seeing is through my frame. Shift my frame. Give me a revelation. Give me an insight. Break in. Imagine God breaking into our life every morning, you know, revealing things in our hearts, showing us, explaining things in a new way, you know, showing the path to us. Everything changes. But you need the base of the commandments and the laws of God and the scriptures. You can't escape that. You know, you can't say God is now telling me to do this and do that. It must be in accordance with God's word. But there is also insight and revelation that God gives us. Surrendered mind. Are you following what I'm saying? Second, you surrender the heart. What do you mean by surrender our heart? You know, that decision-making place, I call it the throne of our life. I'm the guy who is seated on the throne. You know, I think I know everything. Okay, let me tell. This is good. This is not good. Who? I'm telling. Who am I? Just a small drop in the ocean. Here today, gone tomorrow. But I think I'm the king of the world. You know, here today, gone today. Here. I was once doing, some studies in Manila, the Philippines. And here was this university, East Asian Pastoral University. And there was many people from so many countries who had come there, And there was this girl who always used to entertain herself, And what she used to do is all the people now, they had an evening where everyone was given dinner, And everyone is eating superb Philippines meal, And they are eating. This girl will climb to the top of the second floor and she'll pretend that she's the queen, and say, "Eat, eat." Everyone is eating. Eat, eat. And she enjoys telling that, And a lot of us are like that, thinking that we are the kings and queens of the world. We are ruling the floor, while in actual fact, we're a drop of water here today, gone tomorrow. Allow Jesus to sit on the throne. You rule me. You sit on the throne. So for him, I've learned this in my prayer time. I place two footstools, two footstools. One footstool is called my free will. I place it there and say, "You keep your foot on it. You tell me what to do. I'm surrendered." And the other is my conscience. The other stool is my conscience. You keep your foot on it and you tell me how to see things. I'm surrendered. I don't think if you don't do that, if you don't allow him to sit on the throne and you keep your conscience and your free will under his feet, surrender is only an emotion. Nothing much will happen in your life. But if you do this, then the miracle starts happening. Jesus' life and my life begins to fuse. That is found beautifully in John 15, verse 5. Right through the chapter, you can read it. It's a brilliant chapter, but verse 5, because I have no time to explain it more. Verse 5. I am the vine. No. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me. Sorry, ladies. No, sorry, you have no. The time of John, okay. If anyone remains in me and I in them, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How do you remain with Jesus? How do you remain? My mind surrendered to his thoughts. My emotions, my center, my throne given to him to sit. My will and my conscience under his feet. The moment you do that, we are connected. The wisdom of Jesus starts flowing through my mind. That's when divine revelation and insight flows through my mind. The pure heart of Jesus flows through my emotions. So what happens? That thing in John 20:20, the wounds and the resurrected Lord are now mixing inside of me and transforming me. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The energy of Christ flowing through my veins. The power of his presence putting everything in its rightful place. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control flowing through my being. depression, sadness, anger, fear, suspicion, suicidal tendencies, darkness, hatred, washed away in that presence. Imagine the miracle. You have it every morning if you sit at His feet. The frame is shattered. The transformation takes place. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not your will. It's not your decision-making power. It's not your capacity. It's not your intelligence. Neither mine. It is becoming one with Jesus. And you can't become one with Jesus until you give your will into His hands. Till you trust Him. You died for me. You gave your life for me. And you are taking me to the Father, to eternity. I trust you to do good to me. And I yield. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, day before yesterday I was making this message, you know. And there was a couple, you know, it's an older couple. They truly love the Lord and, you know, their enthusiasm for the Lord. They're from the single speaking section. I used to always admire, you know, but they sounded troubled on the phone on the week before. And they wanted to see me. So I don't see people because of the COVID situation. I talk to them on Zoom or WhatsApp, but these are couples who wouldn't know what Zoom means, you know. So I said, okay, you come to Tabo on Monday, you know. And then I forgot about it, you know. And we are doing the message. 11:30, they say, we are close to that place called Tabo, but there's nobody there. Then only I remembered, my God, I told them to come, you know. Then I said, you come home, you know. I gave them instructions. So they came home. And I have known them. They used to talk with me, but I never knew their story. You know, it was as if God sent them on Monday to complete what I'm just saying today. You know, so they were talking to me, and the couple said, "You know, it's only in the year 2000," he said, "we came to know the Lord." These are traditional Catholics for years, you know, and their families. He said, "It was in one meeting when the Lord challenged us to surrender," he says. So I was listening to them. You know. What is surrender? He said, the business I was doing, he said, I was making money in the wrong way. And in that meeting, the Lord challenged me to give it up. I felt so difficult, he said, because I was wondering, how am I going to live if I do this? But the next day, there was another meeting that I went to. That preacher, this one of our satellite meetings, you know. He preached right to me. It was breaking my heart. And when the worship came, I came forward and I surrendered my way of making money into the hands of God. And I said, I'm giving it up. You have to show me a way. And then they were explaining to me how God provided for them from that day, for 10 years. I'm listening to them. I'm feeling ashamed. Because these people are at a level of journey which I'm unable to touch. They trust the Lord. You know, they're not analyzing, but trusting. And one part of surrender that I just told you now, what is that? This transformation of our nature into the Lord and His presence leading us into heaven. But there's a second part of that. What is the second part? The supernatural life of God flows out from us into the world. Both happen simultaneously. Otherwise we are preaching beautiful thoughts and beautiful words, but we are in the same frame. But there's a breakout. And they were explaining to me how it happened. They were saying, you know, we can do nothing. They told that about 10, 15 times. He said, but one of our relations met with an accident and was taken to the general hospital. This was a story they said of 4 years ago. I never had a chance to tell you, he said. 4 years ago. And when we went to see her, see him or see her, there was this patient
who are screaming in the ward. A motorcycle accident, and this person had been skinned. The whole side had been skinned, and they had to do skin grafts. And also, the hand had to be amputated. And this patient had not slept the whole night. The whole ward was up, and they were disturbed. And while they were talking to their relation, they said, that both of them said, our heart was being pulled towards this person. And we turned to the person and asked, do you mind if we pray for you? And that person's loved ones who were there said, of course, if this the person can be relieved, you know, of the pain, you know, hasn't slept a wink, it'll be grateful. And they were getting her ready for the amputation. And these two began to pray for her, he says. He said, we sang and began to sing a hymn. And this lady who was screaming began to tap on the bed with the other hand as if she was responding. They sang another hymn. They sang another hymn. And they began to worship. And he says, without our knowledge, she fell asleep then and there. Now can you see, who are these people? Not trained, not explained. These are just people who have surrendered to the Lord. And the next day they get frantic calls. We have to come and see you. He said, what's the problem? What's it? A miracle took place. Taken into the operating theater, they said, the hand need not be amputated. And they took the patient. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 My brothers and sisters, we realize the miracle, but we don't realize from where it's coming. It's coming from surrender. It's coming from that place. Not my will, but yours. An incomplete story is all right. You know, people misunderstanding me is all right. Going through that struggle is all right. Because a bigger move of God is in that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So tonight, I'm inviting you in this time of Lent. What do? Break the frame every day. Repentance is that. Break the frame. Don't be prisoners of your nature. Don't be prisoners of your feeling. Break the frame and re-enter the frame of God. I have come from his heart. I have a mission on earth. I'm returning to the Father. In between, he will take me through it to do his mission. And supernatural life is there. Number two, I give the truth of my heart, my brokenness, my frame, my fragmented life. I give it at the feet of Jesus. And he forgives me, washes me with his blood, opens the door to heaven and says, son, your place is assured. Daughter, you are there with me in heaven for eternity. And then he says, let me accompany you from inside. The risen Christ can, mixing himself with my woundedness, living inside of me, I become aware of him. I become conscious of him. And then I choose with my will to surrender. That's when the supernatural enters. My mind for his thoughts. My heart for his heart. My body a temple for his dwelling inside of us. And quietly we are moved. And suddenly, not only do we have insights and revelation and the presence, it jumps out of us. Miracles, supernatural power, and the change of the world around us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand and be in his presence, my brother, my sister? Sanctuary. my brother, my sister, when we dwell deep into the revelations of Christianity, we feel sorry and sad sometimes that we have spent years nibbling on the outside of this great revelation of God, looking for answers at the human levels, looking for meaning in the context of human recognition and love and prestige and position in society, never realizing that there was something much greater to be given to us. And these beautiful words we are going to sing in our worship tonight, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is making me the sanctuary. Pure and holy. How am I pure? By His blood. Holy. Holy means separated for God. Surrendered. How? By His presence. Tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living. I choose to be a living sanctuary. I want the Father's plan, the presence of Jesus, the movement of the Spirit to make this alive in our hearts. So Lord, we pray tonight in a special way that you give us a grace, all of us who are participating right here and now, and those who would listen and participate in the future days. We pray that there will be a breakthrough from our frame of understanding into the revelation of your heart. That the kingdom you have prepared, the life you have for us, the miracle of your living presence transforming us into your nature. That we could say, not I now, but Christ who lives in me. Not I now will become real in every one of us as we hear the word, reflect the word, and worship with our whole heart. Shall we lift our voices and may say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Worship your Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. move into our lives, Lord, as we open to you tonight. We open our hearts, Lord, to your great love. We trust you tonight. We believe in your love. We believe in your sacrifice. We believe in your giving of yourself to us, Lord. We believe in your death for us, your mighty resurrection. Lord Jesus, we believe in you tonight. You are the answer. You are the love revealed by the Father to us. So we open our hearts, Lord. Come and sit on the throne, Lord, as we worship you tonight. So many years, Lord, we walked, we prayed, we cried, but we walked by ourselves, Lord. When it came to that moment, Lord, we could not even trust you. We trusted our own selves, Lord. So Lord Jesus, you can repeat after me. So Lord Jesus, tonight I choose to believe in the love that the Father has revealed by sending you into my life. You came for me. You lived for me. You died for me. You rose from the dead for me. And now you are come back to live inside of me, to accompany me, to transform me from my woundedness, from my brokenness, from my fears, from the fragmentation of my being, into your perfection, into your holiness, into your peace. You are peace, you are rest, you are joy. You are freedom. You are the answer that my heart has been looking for. Here I am, Lord, surrendered to your presence. Here is my life tonight. I trust you with every thought, Lord, with every decision of my life tonight. You can leave it after me. Lord Jesus, with my free will, I choose to surrender my will to your will. I believe, even when I cannot understand, that your ways are higher than my ways. Your ways are more loving than my ways. I surrender to your will. Lord Jesus, I offer you my conscience. Keep your foot on it. Let your thoughts, let your perception flow through my conscience. Not my desire, not my defenses, not my reactions. Lord Jesus, you living inside of me, moving through me like cool, clear water. Lord, we pray tonight. Open every heart, open every life to the power of your presence. never to live alone, Lord. Never to walk alone, Lord. The rest of our lives. We pray for that gift tonight, Lord. That every one of us, even if we lose you for a moment, that our hearts will become so restless that we return to you. Even though we hold on to something that is not of you, that our hearts will become so heavy that we will return to you. And even if we fall, that we will not lay under the burden, but return to you, and you will carry us in your journey, transforming us. Lord, we want to make you the Lord of our lives. Make each of us a sanctuary. Through our eyes, look upon the world. Through our hands, reach out and touch the world. Through our presence, let your presence flow into the world around us. That darkness will turn to light. That sadness will be filled with joy. That the miracle will happen through our lives. Lord, we pray that this breakthrough will happen. People who have been suffering with depression for years. People who are caught up in negative self-views that have been brought through generations of wrong understanding will be shattered and broken tonight by the power of your anointing on each and every one of us. And the revelation of your word will become our dwelling and our home and our life inside us. Lord, because the miracle is already working in our lives, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, prepare me. Let's say it again.
understanding. We yield our past into your hands tonight. Whatever I believe, Lord, how I saw myself, Lord, I yield it at your feet tonight. I surrender to your presence, to the miracle of your life in me. I yield to that truth tonight. Your living presence, your mighty love, flowing in my brokenness. My sinful nature, my broken body, transformed by your presence tonight. The thoughts that were sinful, the words that were wicked, transformed by the power of your love. I believe in this miracle, the miracle of surrender happening in my life tonight. I feel the Lord is showing us tonight that if we pray for those who are trapped in depression and sadness and darkness of their minds, because all of that are frames created by brokenness and the woundedness of this world, that if we pray in his name, he will shatter that power and it will bring the light of the truth of his revelation into those hearts. So we'll declare now, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name we declare over everyone who is listening, over everyone who is participating in this meeting, here and now and in the future, all the sadness, all the depression, all the suicidal tendencies, in the mighty name of Jesus, we rebuke that darkness. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. You have no right to be in that life. You have no right because you are a lie. You are a deceit. You are not the truth. And we rebuke you and we cast you out in the name of Jesus. We declare right now the words of John 8:31, that your word, Lord Jesus, is the truth. And when we believe in that truth, the truth will set us free and set us free to become sons and daughters of God, with you living inside us, with your nature transforming us, with you leading each and every one of us, Lord, because of your anointing and your power breaking down every thought. We want to say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is speaking to someone who is in the field of writing. This person is discouraged and wants to give up that field and walk away from that. And the Lord is telling you tonight, no, when my anointing is on your life, I will lead your pen. And from your pen, I will speak and I will reveal my heart. Do not be caught up in this temptation to give it up. Let the word flow through you. I'm giving you a new anointing, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Lord is speaking to a person who's going through a financial problem, and this person is seeking the Lord's face and asking the Lord for a solution. The Lord says, my child, I have spoken to you today through this message. Trust in me and surrender to me, says the Lord. The Lord is also speaking to a person who is in a relationship and there are obstacles, or someone is trying to disrupt the relationship. Lord says, I will restore your relationship and I will heal you of these disruptions. And the relationship will be built according to the way I want, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
God is speaking to a person who has developed some blisters on the toes, on both legs, and this person is very anxious and worried, and this person is gazing on that all the time. The Lord is telling today, you gaze on me and everything, I'm going to cure you, and you're going to get this healing, the Lord says.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah.
God is also speaking to another person who has lost the person, that person's pair of spectacles, or broken that. And that person is very worried because he has no finances, how to get it. Lord says, just trust in me because I'm in control of your life. You will be getting a new pair, the Lord says.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah. The Lord is speaking to that writer. I confirm the message about the writer. And the Lord is saying, I hold your future. Trust in me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord is also speaking to many of us today. The Lord says, you would have felt the fragrance of the Holy Spirit today. The scent of the Holy Spirit. I am closer to you, nearer to you than you imagine or understand. I am with you. Do not be afraid, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father.
The Lord is speaking to a person. The Lord says, my child, you have done well in your life up until this time. In your school days, you became first. In every way, you are a champion. Right now, you're facing this challenge and you're failing. Trust in me, my child. This is the time that you're taking that higher level. I'm taking you to that higher level. Trust in me. I invite you to surrender your life to me so that I will take you forward in your life, says the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. The Lord is also touching a person who is experiencing a pain in the ankles that radiates through the heel. The Lord is saying, my child, you find it difficult to walk and you're scared about it. I'm touching you and healing you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we all stand, my brothers and sisters, grateful to our God that we are having this opportunity to come together and worship Him. Grateful for His love and mercy towards us. So we give the Lord a mighty hand tonight. And we say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Who bends bare foot for my tent?
6:30 we begin the Lenten reflection. Good night and God bless.
Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. A quick reminder of all the announcements. So right now what's taking place is the prayer room. For those of you joining us online, the details will be on the screen. The Zoom ID is on the screen, so you can just join the link. It's taking place right now. And as Tatha said, tomorrow begins the 40 days of prayer and reflection from 6:30 a.m. onwards. It will be available on Zoom as well as on YouTube. And on Friday will be the intercessory prayer for the world from 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Zoom. Saturday morning will be the youth meeting, and before that, early morning will be Dr. Ralph Martin at 5:30 a.m. So we hope to have you with us for all these meetings throughout the week. Thank you. Good night and God bless you.